The epistle is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 15, verses 4 through 13. Brethren, whatever things have been written for our instruction, that through the patience and the consolation afforded by the Scriptures, we may have hope. May then the God of patience and of comfort grant you to be of one mind towards one another according to Jesus Christ, that one Spirit you may, with one mouth, glorify God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive one another, even as Christ has received you to the honor of God. For I say that Christ has been a minister of the circumcision in order to show God's fidelity in confirming the promises made to our fathers, but that the Gentiles glorify God because of his mercy, as it is written, Therefore, I will praise thee among the Gentiles, I will sing to thy name. And again he says, Rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing his praises, all you peoples. Again and again Isaiah says, There shall be the root of Jesse, and he who shall arise to rule the Gentiles, to him the Gentiles shall hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 11, verses 2 through 10. At that time when John had heard in prison of the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples to say to him, Art thou he who is to come, or shall we look for another? And Jesus answering said to them, Go and report to John what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead rise, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not scandalized in me. Then, as these went away, Jesus began to say to the crowds concerning John, What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Behold, those who wear soft garments are in the houses of kings. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall make ready thy way before thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. When John had heard in prison of the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. St. Paul, in today's epistle, tells us about the importance of Holy Scripture. These things are written for our instructions. When you follow instructions, and they are good instructions, then you succeed in the endeavor that you are striving for. When you don't follow the instructions and you think you can figure out a thing better, usually you'll find yourself having failed. And as we know, if the instructions are faulty, well, we shouldn't follow them. And if we do, we'll find that we fail. But one thing about the instructions of sacred scripture, they are the words of God, and therefore we can follow them without hesitation. On any given Sunday, there are usually quite a few different topics that we can meditate on, as such is the case in this Sunday, but we don't have time to highlight all of them, and usually there's some things that stick out that we should underline and to call to mind and to make ourselves aware of or to get refocused on. The first thing that I would like to underline is this. The first part of the gospel, at the very beginning and the very end, it talks about the same thing, or it hints to the same thing. The gospel starts off to tell us that John the Baptist is in prison. Why is he in prison? John's in prison because he wouldn't alter his preaching. He wouldn't alter his purpose, the message, for the sake of anyone, not even King Herod. And because in his preaching, he preached the truth, and that truth was against what the king was doing at the time, he ended up in prison. Now, at the very end of the same paragraph, when after the disciples of John presents him with the question, "Are you the one, or should we look for another?" And our Lord gives the list of things. You go tell John what you've seen. The blind see, the lame walk, the dead rise. The poor have the gospel preached to them. And then our Lord says something very interesting. He says, "And blessed are they who are not scandalized in me." Who is somebody that is scandalized in Christ? Someone who is scandalized in Christ is someone who is willing to change for the sake of feelings or for the sake of quote-unquote small C charity, a pseudo-charity, in order to please somebody else. They're willing to change the truth because they're willing to change Christ. And this is the thing that we have to be concerned about. Who is Christ to me, and how do I promote him? Am I afraid to go out there and have people know or think that I believe? We live in a day and age of what we call wokeness, where we have to be so sensitive about what everyone else thinks. And you know what? When you take a look at it, the real definition of wokeness is, yeah, make sure you walk on eggshells on what everybody else thinks except for God. God forbid that you promote morality or the truth. Oh no, the truth is offensive. How can the truth be offensive unless you're in the opposition of the truth? Is Christ offensive to you? Because if he is, the problem is not with Christ. And this is the thing Holy Mother of the Church wants to instruct us in at the very outset of the liturgical year. Consider what the truth is to you. How precious do you hold to the truth? Is your life one about wanting the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Christ says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father but by me." Now, either we have the mentality and we have made up our mind to pursue Christ absolutely, actually, or we make up a facade of what we call religion. And I think too many people do that. People who dabble in religion think they're doing pretty good because they go to church on Sunday. Oh, they even might have a daily schedule of prayers in their week. But the question then comes out, really, what do you think of Christ? Actually, when I was reading this gospel today, I kind of flipped it around for myself. Second part of the gospel, after the disciples left, Christ starts to talk about John. He asked him, "What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in fine garments? Those who wear fine garments of the houses of kings. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yea, I tell you, I'm more than a prophet." He praises, high praise from Christ for John. The question came to my mind is, what does Christ think of me? And I think that's the question we need to really concern ourselves about. What does Christ think of you? And let's not be here, stand back and ask that question for the sake of our neighbor, because the good Lord knows how often we misjudge our neighbor and their standing in their heart. No, let's take it personally. What does Christ think of me? When he sees me, what does he see? A soul of sincerity, a soul who loves the truth, a soul who endeavors to reach their true goal, which is heaven, a soul that appreciates all the gifts that God has given to them, especially the gift of himself, or a soul that's selfish, self-centered, foolish, spends an eternity on a moment and finds himself sad, spiritually melancholic, disturbed, without peace. When the Lord sees such a soul, the Lord is sad because the Lord wants nothing more than the soul to have peace. Peace I give to you, peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives to you do I give to you. And we can have this peace if we have Christ. But we can only have Christ his way. When we take a look at the things that Christ points out when identifying John and giving him high praise and asking the people, what did you go out to the desert to see? A reed shaken by the wind? No, John was no reed shaken by the wind. He had courage. Courage to stand for the truth and to promote the truth. And was willing to spend anything and everything for it. Spend to be spent for the truth. Did you go out to see a man clothed in fine garments? Creature comforts. How many of us spend a fortune on creature comforts and yet we spend very little where our concerns our relationship with God? How sad. We cheat ourselves out of the greatest thing we could possibly have for a moment. So my dear friends, as we come to this second Sunday, the second week of Advent, as we are preparing our hearts for the great feast of our Lord's birthday, let us do so with all sincerity. Weed out things, make room for him. And that all starts by caring what God thinks when he sees us. The last thing I want to talk about, I think it's very important too, is the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. The Feast of the Immaculate Conception, in May 1846, the Council of Baltimore proclaimed the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. Our Blessed Mother, under this title, is the patroness of our country. If you're a true patriot, then you should call upon our Blessed Mother today to bless your country, especially with all the problems that we have. If there's ever a feast that speaks against abortion, it would be this feast. Immaculate Conception. Mary was conceived without stain of sin. When she appeared to Bernadette at Lourdes, Bernadette asked her, "Who are you? Who do I tell the priest you are?" And she says, "I am the Immaculate Conception." A prerogative of her son, who was also not only her creator, but savior and sanctifier. The Father, the creator, we attribute creation. The Son, redemption. The Spirit, the sanctifier. But God was able to make our Blessed Mother, his mother, pure, kept from all stain of sin, in order so that he could unite his divinity with our humanity and save us. But he just didn't stop there. He wouldn't keep his mother for his own. He's not selfish. But he says, "This is my mother, but now behold your mother." If there's, I look at all the feasts of our Blessed Mother, and I can't help but think how they promote the true dignity of a woman. After the God-made man, our Blessed Mother is the only human that is as high, or that is the highest, that's not God. And we call her Mother. Today on her feast day, let us go to her, give to her our petitions. Ask her for the things that we stand in need of, the help to fight the good fight. Yeah, we're tempted. The devil's having his hour. There's no doubt about it, but we have our Blessed Mother, and she is the one who crushes his head. Never was it known that anyone who fled to her for protection, implored her help, or sought her intercession was left unaided. Pray for your families. Pray for your spouses. Pray for your country. Pray for yourself, that you may learn to become a true child of God. And after having a bias in the truth in time, you may be one with the truth for all eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Confessions will be heard.